response to vague, preliminary overtures, such as the one from Steve Case at AOL, and not a specific response crafted by the board to respond to a serious bid from Comcast. Fairly or not, the contretemps only reinforced the impression that Eisner had simply rejected the Comcast bid on his own initiative, and that Mitchell and the rest of the board had yet again fallen into line. While the revelation seemed calculated to blunt Gold's criticism that Eisner had unilaterally rebuffed Roberts before consulting the Disney board, it deepened the mystery and begged the question of why the board would have told Eisner to reject a bid even before hearing a price or other terms of a proposed offer. As Roberts told the New York Times, "I purposefully raised the topic of a combination with Mr. Eisner in a way that I thought would lead to a discussion. How can it be in the best interest of Disney shareholders for him to not even talk to us?" As a critical shareholder vote and Disney annual meeting neared, the campaign reached a fever pitch with ads, a flurry of op-ed pieces in major newspapers, followed by rebuttals and television appearances. Gold on CNBC's Kudlow and Kramer, Iger on CNBC, and Eisner in his preferred venue, CNN's Larry King Live. Among those watching the Larry King interview was Diane Disney Miller and her husband, Ron. In response to a caller asking whether Walt Disney had really been frozen, Eisner said that no, Walt had been buried in an unmarked grave in a secret location. His wishes were that it was unmarked and not available to anybody to ever find out, he said, but I went up there and talked my way into them showing me where he's buried. Why would the grave be unmarked? King asked. Walt wanted his privacy forever, Eisner replied. It's a beautiful little spot and nobody could ever find it, and I'm very proud that I talked myself into it. Diane didn't know whether to laugh or cry. How could Eisner say this on national television? He knew perfectly well that Walt was not buried in an unmarked grave. Diane herself had told him that Walt had been cremated after they had dinner all those years ago. There was a memorial in Forest Lawn Cemetery containing Walt's and Lillian's ashes, and its location was no secret. There was no unmarked grave, and so, of course, Eisner couldn't have either discovered or visited it. Diane was really tired of other people, especially Eisner, trying to lay claim to Walt's legacy. Diane was so upset that when James Bates, a Los Angeles Times reporter, left a message, she broke her long-standing public silence and returned the call. The reporter wasn't in, but Diane left a message. "As far as my cousin is concerned, Roy loves the company, but I think he's taken the wrong action here. I think he's put the company in play. As far as Michael goes, he's had a good run. It is time for him to go." Then she hung up. When Bates returned her call, she elaborated, saying, "New leadership is necessary. I think Michael Eisner did some great things for the company, but there are also some not-so-great things." And she urged the board to move quickly to replace him. "Disney's daughter, Eisner must go," was the headline in the Los Angeles Times on March 10, 2004. As both Disney and Save Disney kept up their round-the-clock polling of shareholders, it became clear to both sides that the once unthinkable might happen. As many as 35% of Disney shareholders might withhold their votes from Eisner. In an effort to blunt the shock value of any such result, Disney began